This is Tehillim Gimel, Mizmor LeDavid. This is a song for David. Vivarcho, when he ran away, Mipnei Avshalom Beno, because of, or in front of, Avshalom his son. So he sang a song as he was running away from Avshalom his son. Now the question is, why would one want to sing a song when you're running away from your own flesh and blood, your own son who wants to kill you? Doesn't seem very logical. And we are told, as a matter of fact, that David was crying as he was running away from his son. So then why would he have display these conflicting emotions of singing a song of praise and crying? What could be more devastating to a parent than having one own son chase after him to kill him? Perhaps to understand this, we need to have a little background into the Eved Hashem, David HaMelech. We're told in Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Aleph, it was in the evening, and King David got up from his bed, and he went up to the roof of his palace. He saw a woman bathing from his roof, and the woman was very beautiful. King David sent, and he asked about the woman, and he was told that this was Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah Hachiti, of Uriah. Our Chazal tell us that in this regard, Kol Omer David Chote, Eina Eletoa. Whoever says that David sinned in this matter is erring. He's making a mistake. I had an occasion a few years ago to speak to someone who is reading the Bible. Now, the Bible is not the Torah. Our Torah is not the Bible. The Bible is an English facsimile of the Torah, but it is not the Torah. So a woman was reading this portion in Shmuel Beis, and she was shocked to see what happened here in the Bible. And she approached me and she said, "You know, I was reading the Bible, and you're King David. Aha, forget it. He wasn't anything to talk about. Do you know what he did?" I said, "That's very interesting. But since we don't interpret the Torah by ourselves, we can only understand it through the eyes of Chacham HaChachmenu Zatzal. We can't understand. We just have to accept their interpretation of what actually happened, since the events are very sketchy in the Tanakh. We just have to accept how our Chazal give us an explanation of these facts. So our Chazal tell us that when someone went out to war in King David's time, he didn't want the women to stay wondering if the person would be killed. No, there would be no accounting of that person. The woman could never remarry. So as a matter of course, people would write a divorce to the wife before they went out to war. So this woman, Bathsheba, was actually divorced at the time. Now we can continue with our little sipur as it's explained to us in Shmuel Beis. So David sent for her, sent his messengers, and he took her, and she came to him, and he slept with her. After she cleansed herself from her ritual impurity, and after he had relations with her, she returned to her own house. And we are told that the woman became pregnant, And she sent and she told King David, and she said to him, I am pregnant. At that point, her previous husband, Uriah Hachiti, was still alive and had the potential to come home and remarry his previous wife. And if that would happen, then there would have been a problem. So David sent to Yoav, and who was the chief general in the army, and it was commanded that Uriah Hachiti should come back, and because David would like to speak to him. And when Uriah came back, and David asked him, how's everything on the front in the battle lines? David asked him if he would like to go back to his own home. So he told David, how can I go back to my own home when things are so unstable at the front? How can I go back? So he stayed there for a while in Yerushalayim. And the next, after a few days, he was sent back to the front. And King David told Yoav, the head general, that when Uriah comes out to the war, put him in the front of the army, and perhaps he will be killed, and there will be no problem with Bathsheba, with the woman that David had taken. So when Yoav heard this, he put him in a place where he knew there would be a very heavy fighting, and Yoav and Uriah was killed, along with others. At that point, now of course the story is much more involved, but I'm only giving the salient points so that we can get to the point of the Tehillim. After that point, King David took Bathsheba back to his palace, and he kept her as a wife at that time. And she gave birth to a son. However, the Tanakh tells us that Vayera Hadovar Asher Asa David Be'enei Hashem. And this action was very bad in the eyes of Hashem that King David had done. And God sent Nason, who was the Navi, to David. And he gave David a little example about two people. One was rich and one was poor. And the poor man just had a small sheep. And the poor man loved this little sheep because that's all he had. And when the rich man needed something to take, he didn't take from his own, but he took from the poor man his little sheep that he had. So when King David heard this, he said, "This is terrible. This is a capital crime. How could someone be so cruel to a poor man? And the keves he should pay many times over that he did this terrible thing." And Nason told David, "That evil person is you. And you were commanded as appointed as a king. And you were saved from the hands of King Saul. And now you do this terrible thing. Why do you disgrace the name of God?" Now, he says, "A sword will not cease from your house." In other words, you will be killed along with your whole household because you did this terrible thing. and your wives will be raped in front of your eyes. They will take your women. And because you did this in a sneaky way, and in something hidden, I will expose this to everyone. So David, at this point, now most people, when they read this passage, these passages, these Perakim in Tanakh, they are shocked to hear that a king of Israel could do such a terrible thing, even though she wasn't married. Still in all, in the eyes of God, this was certainly an inappropriate action. It wasn't the sin as most would understand it, but it still is somewhat of an inappropriate action. So most people just stop right here, they make a judgment, and they say, well, he was absolutely no good. That's all, he's finished. And most people just stop there, but they don't read the crux, the most important part of this parasha. And Vayomer David el Nosan, Chatasi LaHashem, I have sinned to God. And at that point, Nosan said to David, Gam Hashem hever chatascha lo samus. God has taken away your sin now, and you will not die. In other words, even though the sin was so overwhelming, even though the sin was so great, the power of tshuva, the power of repentance, is even greater than that. And the Jewish people who are given this power of tshuva, that there is nothing that stands in the way of somebody who wants to mend his ways. And the Gemara in Masechta Avodah Zarah tells us that King David was certainly not worthy of committing this action. However, once he did commit the action, he was showing us how an individual can do tshuva, how it's such a wonderful gift that no matter what you've done in the past, you can make amends for that. You can't change the past, but a person can affect the future by doing tshuva. And this is the basic background of Perek Gimel. So our Chazal tell us in Medrash Shochet Tov that he was running away, crying and singing at the same time. Because they tell an example of a king's son who was thrown out of his father's palace for being disrespectful and disobedient. So the pedagogue runs after the prince. He finds him in the forest, weeping uncontrollably, and at the same time singing. So he said to him, tell me, why are you crying? So the king's son says, I'm crying because my father threw me out of the house and that I did things that annoyed him so much that he had to throw me out of the house and I am a disappointment to him. That's why I'm crying. So he says, so why are you singing? He says, I'm singing because my father did not kill me. I did not get the full brunt of his fury. I only got a partial payment for what I deserve. The same thing, King David, he knew that because of this action with Bathsheba, he had to get some type of punishment. And that the punishment was only that his son would chase after him to kill him. This seemed like just a minuscule a payment for what he really deserved. He was so happy that he sang a mizmar, a song, a praise to God, that Bevarcho Bnei Avshalom Beno. Hashem, we continue, Pasuk Beis, Hashem, Barabu Tzoroi, how great are my enemies. Rabim kamim aloi. The multitudes stood up against me. Rabim omrim lenafshi. Many people say about my soul, Ein yeshuasa lo belekim sela. There's no hope for him anymore. As they were saying, that once a person commits such a terrible sin, can there be any hope? Can tshuva help? Va'ata Hashem magin ba'adi. You were a protection, a shield for me. Kvodi, my honor, umerim roshi, and you pick up my head. You give me a place of honor. Koli el Hashem ekra. My voice to Hashem I call out. Vayaneni, and he answered me, mehar kachosela, from the mountain of the Beis HaMikdash forever. So we're told that this was the David suffered for this indiscretion with Bathsheba for many, many years. And as a matter of fact, we're told that Shimi ben Agera, he said, Hu kilani klolo nimretzes. He cursed me a vicious curse, a strong curse. So we're told that nimretzes is a just the Rosh HaTevis. The nun is for Noef. He said, you're a lecher. Moavi, you are a Moabite. In other words, talking about his past, because he came from Rus HaMoavi, Russia. He called him a Russia. Tzorer, an enemy. Te'eva, disgusting. So he really got a tremendous amount of curses. And he was able to withstand them by calling out to Hashem. Ani shachavti v'ishana. I lay down to sleep and I slept. Hekitzosi. I wake up. Ki Hashem yisbacheni. Because Hashem supports me. Lo ira meriv v'zom. I will not be afraid of the troubles, of the fighting of the people, Asher Saviv Shosu Aloi, that they surrounded me. Kuma Hashem Hoshieni, arise Hashem and help me. We are told that David HaMelech told Hashem to arise. And we're told that in four times in Tehillim he asked Hashem to arise. And the fifth time was for Melchemes Gog Magog, the Armageddon, which will happen in our times, and we will see the coming of the Mashiach. Elokai, Hosheini Elokai, help me Hashem, ki hikisa es kol oivai lechi, because you hit all my enemies in the cheek. Shine Rishoam Shibarta, the teeth of the Rishoam you broke. Now the question is why this is also a strange language. Ki kisa es kol oivai lechi. You hit all my enemies in the cheek. Why the cheek? So we are told, again brought down in Medrash Tehillim, that this is referring to Shimshon HaGibor, because he took a V'yimtza lechi chamor, teriyah, which he found a cheek of a donkey, which was either 3 days old or a part of a triplet, as Achazal tell us, which was really a small bone, and he killed many plishtim. and the Philistines. And the Lehi is also very significant in that, for example, we're told that God gave the Shnei Luchos Avonim. Also has to do with Lehi. And Chazal tell us, if one wants to attain the Torah, he has to have really a cheek made out of Evan, made out of stone, to withstand the abuse that one has to go through to learn Torah and to maintain the Jewish religion. So b'shus that Hashem helped with the Lehi, and the Torah comes out of the Lehi, and that Shimshon HaGibor is the symbol of the Mashiach and the help. We continue with the last pasuk, Hashem HaYeshua. Hashem has the redemption. Al Amcha on the nation Bechasecha Selah, that you blessed forever. Now we are told that in the when Yaakov Avinu saw Shimshon HaGibor, he thought he was Mashiach. And when he saw that he died, and we know that a dead person cannot be Mashiach, Yaakov Avinu said, "Lishuascha kivisi Hashem," that we pray for the Yeshua, and we pray for the coming of the Mashiach in our times.